Amen. Now, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it, because when the Lord makes a day, he's equipped you and he's well equipped to handle anything that happens during that day. Amen. And so this morning, we're just so thankful that we get to come out and worship and just celebrate God and be a part of this great day. And so we're just going to step right into things and let the Lord just touch your heart this morning. Amen. Amen.
Savior, I thank God. stage. You need to get up this morning. Now's your chance to dance, to shout.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Oh, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
There is freedom in the water. nor the river, it will never find the
Running out to me all my life, and all my life you have been faithful.
goodness.
Come on this Father's Day, you can sing your love to Him this morning.
And all my life You have been faithful.
Lord, we love You.
And all my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
With every breath.
Sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. I lay with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. It's running after me.
Oh, it's running. We surrender, Lord. We surrender all. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give You everything. Your goodness is running.
Nothing I can do to let You down. It does.
already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you spoke.
I'm so free by the mercy of God was the grave meant for me, where my sin lay buried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God was the cross meant for me, that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God was the grave meant for me, where my sin lay buried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God was the cross meant for me, that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God was the grave meant for me, where my sin laid buried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God was the cross meant for me, where my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God was the grave meant for me.
Give the Lord another hand clap. Amen. Do we not serve a great God or what? Amen. Our God is a good and powerful and amazing God. Amen. Loving, merciful, and kind. Hallelujah. Praise the God. Hallelujah. It's just good to be with you on this Father's Day. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Thank you for what you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can see I'm by myself again today, so just keep Pastor Regina up in prayer. She's doing better, but she's in a healing process, so keep her up in prayer. Amen. And in the meantime, I want to remind you that on the 25th, coming up this Saturday, right? That's the ladies' painting day. What time do we start? Do you know? 10 o'clock. So 10 o'clock, be here, and you're going to have lots of fun. I know the last time they did this, it was very fun for everybody. So be there for that. And then the 26th, right after service, we're going to have vacation Bible school meeting, right? And this is a critical one, huh? As you're trying to get ready for the big day that we'll have, the big week we'll have in the month of July. So we want to get ready for that. And then I think that we've got everything organized for pump and all that good stuff coming up. And so I think we're good there. And I'm not sure if I have any other announcements I'm supposed to make. I don't think so. Right, no women's breakfast because we're going into July. And we're going to take July 4th weekend off so people can be with their families. And then also, oh, I did forget one thing. Jason Kearns is having an outreach on June 2nd. He's out in the lobby today, so, or July 2nd. So, yeah, June's already gone. So on July 2nd, we are doing an outreach, which is going to be great. because we're going to go out and give out bottles of water and tell you how we're going to do it. So it's going to be a good time. So if you're interested, make sure you come, and that'll get started at 11 o'clock, and we'll have a good time doing that, okay? All right, with that being said, I think it's time to let these children go. Pastor Jared, all right. On Father's Day, I think it's a good day to remember that as far as tithe and offering goes, that in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9, it says that Levi paid tithes when he was yet in Abraham's loins. And what that means is that your children benefit from what you do with your tithes and offerings. Your children benefit long before they can learn how to tithe and offer themselves. There's a benefit that comes on their life and a blessing that comes on their life because of what you do. So I want to make sure that this morning, as we are just sitting here prayerfully thankful that we get to do something, is give tithes and offerings and have the Lord's blessing received on our life. I also want to remind us that what we do impacts our families and impacts the future of our children. And so we want to make sure that we are being faithful to do all those things, because God is rebuking the devourer on our behalf, and he is opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings upon us. So we're just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come this morning and we just pray, God, and we're thankful, and we just extend our worship to you and our offering and giving, Father. Lord, we're just declaring how much we trust you, how much we believe in you, and how much we put our hope in you. No matter what's going on in the world around us, God, we're faithful because we believe that no matter what, you are our provision and you are our provider, God, and you are our true way of living, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just want to celebrate a little bit on this Father's Day because I want to remind everybody that from the very beginning, remember in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." You know, it's interesting because the Lord, after he established the family and after he established the dynamics of how the family operated, he said, "Now go have dominion on the earth and replenish the earth." And that was because he was setting in order the best way for us to operate in life. And when we have a father and a mother together, I'm telling you that the dynamics of that are so profound, they can just grow into every corner and stretch into every situation. And so this morning, I'm going to share some facts with you that are a little on the sad side, but this is so we can pray and so that we can be excited about God's way is the best way, right? And God's way is the way that we want to establish and that we want to go and that we want to be with him. And so we just want to share a few facts this morning. And part of this, I'm going to say thank you to all the single ladies out there who are raising households on their own this morning, because it's a significant amount here. I don't know if we realize this, but nearly 18.5 million children in America grow up without fathers in their home. And it says that 80% of the single-parent homes are led by mothers. So that means 25% of our youth are growing up without a father in their home. And it also says that children without a father in the home are 9 times more likely to drop out of school. It says that 90% of all homeless and 90% of all homeless and runaway children originate from homes that are single, that are without a father in them. It says 85% of children and teens without that have behavioral issues come from homes without a father in them. And 70% of all of adolescent patients in drug and alcohol treatment centers originate from homes without fathers in them. Wow, those are some staggering statistics, aren't they? So first of all, I thank God that for those Christian single parents, that the Bible says that our Father will be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the husbandless. Amen? Because their statistics are not quite that drastic, and so we're thankful for that. But we just want to think about the fact that in the world today, we've got to make sure that we keep our minds stayed on the way God originated things, because the way God originated things is how things should be working. Amen? Because where God originated is how we should all be originating, how we do and what we do, because that is how things are laid out. And I'm going to go to the book of Psalms, and I'm just going to read here very well. It's probably well known, but I'm going to read a chapter here that I think expresses some things that we want to share today. And in Psalms 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the cities, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain to you to rise up early or to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." And what that means is that when we have God in our life, we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. We don't have to overthink and overtry everything on our own power. We don't have to be up late because we're stressed out, or getting up early and can't sleep because we're stressed, because we can trust in him. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So children are an inheritance, are a heritage. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiverer full of them." What I want to say right here is that this is where we see the importance of the influence of both the mother and the father, really. But here it specifically talks to the man, because it's letting us know how much influence a man can have over his children. If you have arrows and you take them and you practice with a bow real good, you can hit a bullseye. And you can hit that bullseye on a regular basis. And what that means is that a father who's a godly fearing man, if he deals with his children in the right way, he can actually help guide them in life in such a way that they can be successful after him. And so we want to make sure that as fathers on Father's Day, we're doing our best to be godly men. And we're doing our best to love our children in the way that the Lord would love us. And so that we can have an impact on them that's going to help them go the right way that God has for them. Amen? Yep. Arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. Just think about that. Sometimes when you're working with your children and when you're correcting them, which they need that sometimes. They're going to need correction. Amen? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Amen? But they're going to need some correction. But also remember that we're going to learn here that we also have to walk in a way that's not so abrupt all the time. Amen? Praise God. But when we are thinking about these things, make sure that we know that what we're saying to our children is going to have a long-term impact on them. What you say today, your kids are going to remember years down the road. And you want to make sure that what you're saying to them is based upon that godly word and that godly way of saying things and doing things. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, when you train up your children in the way of the Lord, eventually they're going to come back to it. Amen. And it might take a little while and they might run off course for a season. But if you train your children up in the right way, they're going to come back to it. So make sure that you're training your children in the ways of the Lord. And make sure that you are trusting in God for everything that you do with your children. Amen. Sometimes your children are going to make choices that might not be easy for you to handle. But you're going to go to the Lord, and as you pray and let God lead you, He will help you know how to navigate those times. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 24, it says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." So there is that way of raising up our children in which we can have joy in them and we get to rejoice over how they're growing up and what they're doing and who they are becoming in this adventure called life. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Ephesians 6 here just for a minute. And in Ephesians 6 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And what this means is that we have got to find the balance between how to raise our children in a way where they are well-loved and cared for, but also well-disciplined. And really, when this says, provoke not your children to wrath, this doesn't mean don't punish them, but it means punish them with love and not with anger. It means learn how to punish your children in such a way that they can handle and know that you love them, but also handle the correction that you give them. Amen? Because this is critical and this is important and this is something that they have to do and this is something that you have to do as a parent, because we see what happens when we don't do it. We read all that in those statistics just a moment ago. We're going to look here at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, one of the safest things for you children out there today that are listening to me is to listen to what your mother and father have to tell you and teach you. Even as we get older, it is good to keep the wisdom and the counsel of our parents around our life. Amen? Because they are very helpful to us. And I want you to know that, children, one of the best things you can do is listen to your parents and make sure that you put their word above everybody else's that you're hearing. Amen? Parents and grandparents love you, and when they're teaching you something, it's for your betterment and it's for your good. And so we want to make sure that we're allowing ourselves as children to make sure that we're hearing and letting the Lord work in our life. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." You know, sometimes it's interesting because we'll correct our children, and sometimes I'm sure they think that it's meanness that we're trying to correct them out of. But actually, it's because we delight in them so much and we believe in them so much. And it's we believe in who they are. So we're not willing to settle for something less than what we believe they're able to do. Amen? And sometimes that can get skewed in our thinking. But the truth is, parents are correcting their children because they love them and because they delight in them and because they see so much potential in them. Amen? And we want to make sure that we understand that this is part of a father's responsibility. He's going to always be looking to see how we're growing up and what he can do and what we can do to get better. And it's something that he's going to be bringing to our attention. And it is going to be correcting, but because he loves you, That's why he corrects you, and that's why our Father in heaven corrects us. Amen? The Bible says that whom the Lord rebukes and chastens, it's because he loves them. Amen? And it says that he will do it often because he loves us. Amen? And so we should constantly be looking forward to the correction of the Lord. Amen. Woo. Yeah, we should look forward to him correcting us. Amen? Because when he corrects us, we know for sure that he loves us. I'm going to read here in Colossians 3:18. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." So one thing that we have to be careful of as fathers, especially in the world's way of doing things, is that sometimes we are taught to have a hard edge on ourselves. Amen? And though men are strong and they're going to come off strong, we also have to make sure that we don't correct our children out of anger, and that we don't provoke them to be angry, but that we correct them out of love, and that we are firm, and we sometimes have to discipline, even give physical correction. But in the midst of that, we have to do it in a way that they know that we love them and that they can be encouraged instead of discouraged. Amen? You know, they should still want to give you a hug at some point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we want to make sure that we're supporting our children in this way. You know, I also want to say something to you fathers that we're talking to today, that it's one thing to be a father in the home, but you know, you also have the opportunity to be a father to other people as well. And you never know when at your workplace or your neighbor or somewhere, you're going to get introduced to young people that need an influence of a father figure in their life. And so I want you to be open and available to that, and I want you to be willing to do that, because it is something that happens from time to time that you'll come across an opportunity to be a father figure to somebody. Amen? Just like in the book of Daniel, for example. We have Daniel and we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we know the story of Daniel going to the lion's den, and we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fire. But part of that success was that Daniel was an example to those guys when he first got started. In Daniel chapter 1, they got shipped off to a country, and it said that Daniel would not just eat the food of what the king was trying to deliver to them. Daniel made sure that he kept his excellence and he kept his way that he is supposed to live before the Lord. And because he lived for the Lord, those other guys got to see how he lived. Amen? And so sometimes being a father figure is that you live by an example where people can see what you do and follow after you. Amen? Your children should be able to see you at home acting in such a way that you'd be pleased to see them handle situations the way you handled them. Amen? Amen? And if you're not handling a situation in the way that you'd like to see your children handle that situation, hello, it's time for us to make a change. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that these are things that are very important for us to understand, because we're just going to get opportunities to be father figures to people, and we ought to take those up. Amen? Just like Daniel, when he stayed the course, and he could have backpedaled when they changed the laws of the land, but he didn't. He stayed firm in what he believed, and it led him to the lion's den, but it also led him out of the lion's den, fully engaged in his relationship with God. Amen? And when he was such a good example to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it led them into the fire, didn't it? But amazingly, they saw the fourth man standing in the fire, who was Jesus, right? And he was right there with them. So what we want to do is we want to teach our children in such a way that they always rely on the Lord. Amen? We always want them to rely on Jesus, because that's going to be the most critical part of their life, even when they leave our household and they're on their own. The thing that we want to know the most is that we imparted Christ's life into them. Amen? And that we love them through the eyes of Christ, and we love them through the way that Jesus would love them. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." See, that's what's so powerful is that you get to live today in a way that if you walk with the integrity of the Lord on your side, then your children are going to be blessed by what you did and by how you walked. Amen? We're going to go back to the Old Testament just for a minute and read something here. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, it says, "Now these commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of their life, and that thy days be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know, I can't encourage you enough today, fathers, to make sure that you're doing more than teach your children the natural things of life. You know, I want you to know that sometimes, especially men, we have to be careful of this because we love to be outdoors and we love to be building and we love to be fishing and we love to be doing all these things. And God certainly wants you to partake in any of those things that you want to partake in. But what we cannot forget is that the most important thing we're going to do is teach our children. And the most important thing we're going to do is teach them what the Word of God says. Amen? I mean, he was very clear here. He said, "My commandments and my statutes, not only do I want you to do them, but I want you to talk about them with your children." Talk about them. When you have a faith victory in your house, talk about it with your child. When God does something, tell them, "Hey, this is what the Lord did to us to provide for us. And this is how the Lord started helping us." And don't wait till they're older to tell them. Tell them when they're little. Tell them when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up till they become 18 and on their own, or 20 and on their own, or 21 on their own. Always encourage them to know what you've done and what God has done for you in the arena of faith. Amen? And make sure that we let them know how much we love them and how much we're sharing with them in this regard. Amen? Because it's really critical in today's world, especially, that we reflect things of the Bible and that we keep these things out in front of us and that we are a people that are joined to God and that we are a people that are sticking with the Lord. Amen? It says here in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to begin to read here in verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? You know, this scripture should be a reflection of who we are as people. Honest and integrous. making sure that we are as truthful as we can be and as truthful as we can share whenever we get the opportunity to share. Amen. As fathers, this is critical, that we are as honest as we can be and that we share in such a way that it has integrity with it. Amen. And that God can just trust us to be integrous with our children and can count on us to just love them in such a way that we're willing to share with them and speak with them in a truthful way that is not to hurt their feelings, but is to help build them up and let them know how to live this thing called life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to say one or two more things to you. And that is that, you know, the Bible says now faith. And when we're dealing with our children, fathers, and when you're dealing with things, remember, now is when your faith should be working. Amen? Now is the time to invest. Now is the time to speak. Now is the time to share. Amen? We're only going to have a season. And that season comes quicker than you think to invest in your children and to be able to speak to them, even as they get to be adults. And so what you want to make sure is that the Bible says now faith is. That means right now in the time in which you're living is where your faith ought to be working. And right now is where we really want to make sure that we're giving all efforts to communicate and to love and to care and to share. Amen? And we're going to do our best to just keep our love out in front of everybody and keep our love out in front of our children. And as men, I want to thank each one of you who've been a faithful father. Amen. I want to thank you for what you do each day with your children. I want to thank you for loving your wives. I want to thank you for keeping your family strong and doing what you can. And even of those of you who are in a situation where your family might be divided or split, I still want to thank you for what you're doing in life to provide for your children and to keep them close to God. Amen? Whenever I think about Father's Day and I think about families that are together, I think even so about families that are single-parent homes and that are doing the best they can to provide for their family. And I tell you what, we have some strong ladies and some strong men that are doing a good job of taking care of their children. Amen? And so we just want to keep those things up and do what we can and make sure that we're doing all we know how to do in terms of being fathers and parents to our children and to anybody who will allow us to be that father figure to them in this thing called life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, it doesn't seem like I preached that long today, but it's what I have to say and it's what I've given to you. Amen? And I believe that it was good and I believe it was from God. Amen? And so I'm just going to go ahead and just be settled with what we've preached on. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, God. And I just give you just all the praise and thanksgiving, Father God, for what you're doing in our lives, Father. And Lord, as we celebrate this Father's Day, Lord, I just thank every father for being who they are. And God, I thank you for just helping men to become more and more of what they're supposed to be in this role and in this area, Father. Lord, that they would be able to love their children the way that they should, Father, and that you're going to teach them and help them and strengthen them, God. And Father, I just pray for families in general. I just pray for families in general, Father, and for children in general, that households would come together, Father, that your love would be reflected in them, God. And that, Father, they would be blessed because of it, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, before we get ready to go, I think there's a young lady here by the name of Glenna that has a little something that she'd like to read. Uh-oh. I think she has a little something that she'd like to read. Okay. For us about fathers.
I was a young girl going to church, I used to sing with my mother. And my dad always wanted me to recite this. And I thought about it the other day. And so I want to dedicate this to the father that's going on. I lost my dad probably around 18 years ago. Of course, my mom, she's gone too. But I have my own family. And if you have your own family, and you have your dad, and you have your mother, treasure them with all your heart, because one of these days, they'll be gone, and you're going to say, oh, I wished I'd have said this, or I wish I'd have done this. I have done that. I'm an only child, and I have done things in my life that I wish that my mom and dad would have been here so I could have shared more with them. This is called Father's Table Grace. I don't know if any of you have ever heard it, but it touches my heart. As we sat at the table, my family's head bowed low. My thought returned to childhood, to the finest man I know. He doesn't speak good English because he's just a simple man. But when he was talking to the Lord, even a child could understand. I was young and reckless, and the thoughts still come to me. When I told my dad, I felt that I was old enough to leave. He sat there at the table, and a look came on his face, but he never said another word until he said the table grace. He said, "Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're all gathered here today to thank you for the blessings, so humbly we pray. My oldest one is leaving, but I'm sure they know what's best. But just in case, would you stand by and help him to pass the test? I've tried my best from day to day to teach them right from wrong. And if they get with the wrong crowd, Lord, won't you hold their arm? They're awful neglectful about church on Sunday morning. And if they get with the wrong crowd, will you help them go on more? But don't you let them fall too hard, Lord. I'm sure that you can handle things. I was young and reckless, but that you all should know, because I know that you have been there, and you've been there once and all. I've grown to be a fine young man, young lady, and I've always blessed the home. We pray thee, Lord, for guidance, that you can cleanse us from our sin, so we can be together in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The table was silent as tears ran down my face. And from that day on, I based my life on Father's table grace.
Well, with that being read, I just want to do one more thing. Is there anybody here this morning who does not know the Lord and that does not have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and would like the opportunity to give their life to the Lord? Anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I just declare your blessing over your people today, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and who you are, God, and what you're doing, Father. And Lord, we just declare it and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, I hope that you have a great Father's Day. Thank you for being here.